Hello, welcome back. It's episode 77 of Campbell Conversations with your host, Colin Campbell. And today's conversation, we are joined by serial entrepreneur and best-selling author, Dan Meredith. Dan loves to help others be more productive with their time. So inevitably, we talked about getting shit done. Expect to learn in this episode about Dan's background with success across multiple businesses, across multiple industries. And we discuss some of the milestones he's achieved and what led to those successes. Within the conversation, I asked Dan about one of his books, How to Be Fucking Awesome. This was actually a book that I read in 2016 when I first started to quite seriously get into self-development, and I took a lot from, so I was glad to almost go full circle in my personal development journey and have Dan on to talk about it. As part of this conversation, we discuss sticking a finger up to the law of attraction, which is incredibly popular today, and instead stick a thumb up to action. Finally, Dan goes through his ultimate Be Productive guide, and we talk about how to get shit done. I'm delighted to say that this week's podcast is brought to you by MTN Coaching. Founder David Hatt has appeared three times now on the podcast to share his wisdom on all things business and fitness, and David heads up a team of six coaches across Scotland who form one of the leading fitness transformation services in the UK and service clients online. They provide bespoke programming to enable you to lose fat, build muscle, while still enjoying your lifestyle and building fitness as a habit that you can stick to. You can visit mtncoaching.co.uk to get started today, and the link will be in the show notes below. Thank you once again for your continued support. It feels like a big milestone to get a guest of Dan's caliber and quality on the podcast, and somebody that I learned a lot from during my formative years diving into the self-development world. And it's not possible unless people like you share it with other people like you and grow our listenership and drive the impact that Campbell Conversations can have. A big thank you from me. Let's get into this episode with Dan. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Cambro Conversations. Today's conversation, we are talking all things success in business, how to be fucking awesome and how to get shit done. To do so, we are joined by serial entrepreneur and best-selling author, Mr. Dan Meredith. Dan, thanks for joining me.
You're more than welcome, mate. It's an absolute pleasure. Glad we managed to get something in the diary.
Yes, with a man as busy as you, you have to use multiple introductions to get you over the line. So big thank you to Mike Samuels and David Hatt, both former guests in the podcast, for making this one happen.
Well, this is my first podcast I've done for someone, and I think it was definitely my first one this year. I think the last time I did one was some point last year, maybe summer last year. So yeah, you've taken my 2021 virginity.
Well, I'm pleased. Hopefully that's not the only virginity I'm taking from you today, Dan, because we're going to dive into all sorts of subjects and open up into some previous content that you've created that's had a pretty significant impact on me, and I'm sure thousands of others, with the book that you wrote, How to Be Fucking Awesome. First of all, what gives you the right to produce a book like that? Because it has to come from somewhere of previous successes, and you've got a list as long as your arm.
Well, nice bold question to start there. So yeah, that wasn't the original title of the book. I actually can't remember what it was, but my publisher suggested it, because it was in the time when you had the Magical Art of Not Giving a Fuck. Mark Manson had, I've forgotten maybe this book, but another book with that particular word in it. And quite frankly, my life was pretty fucking awesome. I come from a very non-wealthy family. I have a disabled sister who took a lot of time, money, resources, and effort to look after. And we really didn't have much in the way of money. And I never thought someone like me would ever get to the point where I'd even write a book, let alone have a business or businesses that did well. And honestly, I felt that my journey was from a very much a normal person. And these were the tools that I'd learned. I'd spent a lot of money learning them. Some mindset based, some practical based, that allowed me to achieve a life and an income and a level of freedom, which is the most important thing, that I never, ever thought I would have. So, yeah, I mean, everyone had the beautiful thing is since then, obviously, that was 6 years ago, 5 years ago. Life's evolved since then. And the beautiful thing is, it's like you could define your own version of what fucking awesome is. It's like your version of fucking awesome might be a million followers, Colin, and a blue tick, and, you know, hooking up with Insta models every day. that could be fucking awesome. Your other version could be, you know, working 1-2 days a week and doing whatever the fuck you want. That's my particular reality right now. And that's my version of fucking awesome. But back then, my version of fucking awesome was like, you know, 6 figure months and partying and going all over the world and doing cool shit and going to cool places. So the thing is, you can define your own version of it is, but it was just trying to help people understand that you don't have to stay where you are, but you do have to work to get to where you want to go.
Yeah, I was joking with you before we hit record that there's this sliding scale of self-development and messages out there at the moment where we've got Gary Vee, who's for a while was kind of encouraging you to hustle until your eyes bleeded, don't sleep, but chase the paper, chase the hustle. And then there's this kind of hopefully middle ground of people like yourself. And I was telling you before, I was a huge fan of you and Jamie Alderton when you used to hook up on Body and the Beast. And it was
We didn't hook up on Body and the Beast. We podcasted together. I mean, he is extremely pretty. I mean, as he was known as Penis Arms on the podcast, I wanted him to be an asshole before I met him. I really did, because he's offensively good looking with an obscene body. And I really want him to be a prick, and he's not. He's really nice and one of my genuine best friends now. Annoying.
He's got too many things going for him. It's
unfair. Oh, he has, hasn't he? It's annoying.
So although you didn't hook up, you guys combined to make a really powerful piece of content for the audience. And I was consuming this stuff and just thinking, I'm not somebody that's massively entrepreneurial, says the person on a podcast, but I'm certainly somebody that enjoys working within the corporate world. And I used some of the frameworks in my formative career. So I graduated 2014, is probably binge consuming your stuff, like couple of years into my career. So really, really taking on board some of the things that you were saying and applying it to the corporate framework. And I found it radically successful, because if you look around, and we'll break the wall with the listeners here, if you look around the office or the team that you work in, the standard of person within that space isn't that good. They just tend to trade time for money, and they're quite often limited in a lot of the different things they do. So if you can sometimes apply some of the work ethic or the mindset that entrepreneurs have, and you bring that across, you can see relative success while still not having the same amount of freedom as somebody like yourself has done.
Massively, 100%, yeah. A lot of the things that I've shared are applicable to so many areas of life. And I wanted to address something you said about the whole Gary Vee thing. So I put on an event, I don't know if you ever saw the promo materials for it, but I came up with this, I don't drink anymore, but I was quite drunk, invite-only mastermind on a mountain in Utah, very surreal, called Eden. And we were hammered, and we came up with a name for this. It's called the best marketing event ever times infinity plus one. And Gary Vee and myself headlined it. We got drunk, emailed him, put it on, and in 5 weeks, we sold out the event. I wrote the book, got it to bestseller status. That was from 5 weeks from zero. So that was the thing that we did. Now, Gary is a very cool guy, I'm just going to say, because you know, one thing I just shared, you see, like, this is something you wouldn't have seen. We had people backstage and everyone was clamoring for a bit of time to kind of touch the cloth and get a selfie and all this kind of stuff. And my parents were backstage and he saw them. So I took him backstage. He's like, who are they? I asked my mum and dad. And he literally told everyone he said, cool, talk to you in a minute. Very polite to them. He just said, cool, just wait there. And he spent like 5 minutes just chatting with my mum and dad, just as a human being. And that stuck with me. And I thought, if someone of that success, influence, clout, revenue, income, whatever, can do that, that's something I want to model. But one thing, you know, he said this thing, he said, you know, one of my favorite lines of his was, he goes, do you want to know the key to success? And he looks at the camera, my friend Mark is recording it, and he goes, work. That's it, work. And there is the middle ground is correct, but I think a lot of people, not a lot of people, but some people in the space that I now occupy, underestimate how much hard work it takes to get here. So right now, as Karen said, I work probably a couple of days a week and about an hour a day every day. So that's my sweet spot. I always wanted to flip the weekend round. So work two, have off five. Yeah. I am allowed to indulge what I want to do. So whether it's reading, whether it's hobbies, whether it's, you know, networking, learning from people, that's a big part of my life now. But I'm also not stressed. I train when I want, do I want, go where I want. That's one of the things that I choose to do. But it took me 7 years to get here. And the first 2 years were an insane amount of work. Next 3 years were pretty fucking hard work. The last few years, much, much less so. More strategic thinking, more working on my thought processes, my mental models, my ability to think properly and to think futuristically. And what I mean by that is not just go hustle, 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 but like, cool, that's got me here. What's going to get me there? So that's something that I just wanted to emphasize there, because that hard work bit, that don't fucking go. But it shouldn't be there forever.
Yeah, I think that's very, very helpful. And we've given a couple examples in the podcast before, and we both know David really well, as he's been mentioned mm-hmm. by you now. He gave the example of this element of freedom he's got now as an online fitness coach with this like six staff working for him. If you looked at his start to his career, he was 5 a.m. till 10 p.m. at night in the mm-hmm. gym on the floor servicing clients. And loads of people will DM him now on Instagram being like, oh, it's amazing you got to go to Devon for the week and learn and still run your business and whatnot. And that was brilliant that he was able to do that. But he wasn't able to do that just by luck. He was able to do that by 3-4 years compounding efforts, kind of equaling freedom in the longer term. And equally, if I try and distill it down into business examples, I've recently started a new job. It's in a sector that I know really well, in student accommodation. And my number of meetings that I've had in the first 2 weeks dwarf what I had in the last like 3-4 months in my last job. Mm-hmm. But it's because of the effort that I put in that sector 3-4 years ago for 3 or 4 years that I know key stakeholders. And it's all about the work that you did in the past. And a lot of the time, if we look at what you were doing last year, that tends to be where you're at now.
Yeah. And that's it. And it's like, one thing that I think is quite fortunate of mine is that I pretty much documented my whole journey on Facebook. Facebook was my particular medium of choice. I was an early adopter of the very first Facebook, became a huge time suck, and that one I've been in my early 20s. And I think I started my account again maybe 9 years ago. It wasn't, I've not been on it forever. Lots of people been on it way, way longer than me. And my first post, I'm not saying swearing is big or clever, but I used to asterisk out swear words. I was very timid with my opinions. I didn't wish to, it was very light, the sort of things I post. I didn't post particularly often. I was a little bit nervous about sharing my inner thoughts, feelings, highs, lows, all that kind of stuff. That's long gone now. But it took me years to build up kind of like I said, this like my inner me here, out of me here. I had to bring those two together over time. If I went straight to this, I'd be fucked. But it was that constant daily effort that's got me to where I am now.
What are some of the milestones along the way then, Dan, that you would share with us in terms of business success and things that you helped lead you to where you are now?
As in specific things I've done?
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, the first one was my fitness copywriting business. So I for the very, very first one, I still have it to this day. I think it's 9 years old now, 8 years old. I don't fucking know. It's old. Okay. I opened a fitness facility. That's still running. It's fully automated, profitable, has been for several years. That was my first thing. Then I went to copywriting. Did very, very well. And I scaled that from, nothing to a sort of 10 grand, 12 grand a month. And then I scaled that to 60 grand a month plus as an agency in about 9 weeks. Which was Mike, who you referenced earlier. Mike came to work for me, and he was my favorite and first mentee. Mike's crushing it now as a copywriter in his own right. So we did really, really well together. I don't know if Mike shared it, but me and Mike went to masterminds, went to events, we traveled, we did meetings, we hustled, we literally worked. I think a big part of there was a year, and I can't remember the year because I think I was drunk for a big chunk of it, but I think I did 57,000 miles in flights, trains and travel across America, UK and Europe. And I lived out of one bag for a year. And I just networked, met with people, pressed the flesh, turned up at events, pitched, presented, offered to help, all sorts. So that was a kind of a big part of getting there. I ended up working for a guy called Ryan Levesque, whose career was just starting to hockey stick. I came in at the right time, was his right-hand man, helped him launch a mastermind that I sold that out in 2 days for him, set up an agency for him. I think I billed $250,000 in my first month doing that. And then it just got to the point where I thought, do you know what? I don't want to work for someone. We're still friends. I still credit him a lot for the leverage and the rooms he put me in and the network he gave me. And then, there's the traditional, usual bullshit milestones, which aren't really that big in the, corporate world, which obviously we both, you work in, I've worked in the past, first six figure month, first seven figure year, all that kind of stuff. They weren't profit at the start, and we've done that since. And, you know, getting a book. I wrote a book in 3.5 days. It sold hundreds of thousands of copies. It was multi-bestseller in multiple countries. Proper bestseller, category one, not some weird subcategory for like 10 minutes. Number one podcast in health, number one podcast in business. What else have I done? That event I told you about earlier. And then, you know, that's the kind of, you know, that's maybe what your listeners want to hear, as in like the traditional, you know, all look at the cool shit I've done. But the main thing that I'm genuinely proud of, and it sounds insipid, but it's true, is I've actually helped a lot of people. Like people have, I consistently get messages, especially from people who don't like reading, not fans of reading. A lot of people have had dyslexia, people who have ex-armed forces, and not saying people in armed forces don't read, just like people who traditionally have gone into, they went to the forces young, didn't really, you know, do much further education stuff, and people who hate reading, who've loved the book, and they found it easy to digest and implement, and the sort of style really resonated with them. And, you know, there's one story that sticks with me, and if I was to one highlight from the book is, I can't remember what the start was, I think it was along the lines of, there's a line that I'm not dead because of you. I was like, what the fuck? So I clicked on it. And this sounds a bit morbid, but I'm really proud of this. And I'm still friends with them. I'm not going to say the gender, this person. Yeah. Short version is, they were clearing out their iPad to off themselves. They'd done it. They sent me a picture of all the drugs. It was ready to rock. They were tapping out that day. And Amazon sent them a recommendation with my book to say, to help you get shit done. Okay. And they thought, well, that'll be helpful. That'll help me do the thing that I need to do later. So they put it on whilst they were basically deleting everything. And by the end of the book, they had decided that they didn't want to do that, flushed everything away, and are still here today. So, and I've had other stories of similar things, not many, because obviously it's, you know, not that sort of book, but there's a lot of people who've changed their lives, you know, achieved something they've got, helping people they never thought they'd have, left abusive relationships, you know, achieve more than someone of their, you know, ilk or stature ever could. So yeah, that's the real genuine, you know, the money side is good. And to be honest, I fell into a trap at one point of just chasing that. And then I realized, actually, do you know what? If I focus on the servitude and actually making a difference, that just comes. So yeah, there's a few milestones there for you. And yeah, Anyone listening, if you think I'm an arrogant cop, firstly, you're 100% right. Whenever I go on stages anywhere, I say there's 6 inches of real estate that I have absolutely no right to buy, whatever, and that's between your ears. So you can listen to this and think, what an absolute bell end. Unless you're right, you're allowed to. But I just shared that because obviously you asked me a very direct question. Those are the things you wanted to know. For some people, that will be inspiring. Other people think I'm a cop. That's cool. But these are just things I've done. And I'm a normal person from Somerset who just didn't want to stay at my station in life. And with my sister's health, just to give a bit of backstory to that, which may lessen the cockishness, so hopefully so, is I remember seeing a program called Dispatches. So my sister's heavily brain damaged. And it was the catchment area of where we lived. So it's the sort of place she would have gone to when, you know, mum and dad are no longer here. My dad sadly passed away last year. But, you know, kind of, it was always something in my mind. And I saw that and they were just like being hit and treated like shit and bullied and all sorts of stuff. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, not really a big family. It was just us, were very sort of isolated. There's no money in the family. So cool, down to me. And that's why I started.
Honestly, Dan, I take a lot from when somebody has achieved that amount from relative, I don't want to say obscurity, but not, you weren't destined.
Not in the slightest.
And for me, I like to hear those things. And I agree, you're right. Some listeners will find like, oh God, why is he just measuring his dick? And why is he listing off all these achievements? But for me, I like to hear these things because it gives you so much credibility to what you preach and what you tell people, because it'd be very easy to sit back and maybe have had success in one particular area and then use mm-hmm. that to be a business coach or a mentor across all areas. But because you've had your finger in many pies, and I can see your dirty mind working fast for that one, I certainly think that it gives you the credibility.
I'm just gonna say, being a best-selling author has other perks. Sorry.
For me though, it's so valuable that you've had experience across multiple industries and you're able to bring that to the fore for different people. So copywriting, fitness, it was recruitment that you worked in initially.
Yeah. Headhunting, have my own business in that as well.
So it gives you license to speak about these different things. And underneath all of it is this underlying message from that I took from your book, is that you're almost sticking up the finger at the law of attraction and a thumb up to action, which is a nicely encapsulating phrase for a lot of what you talk about. What are your thoughts now on the law of attraction? It appears more popular than ever before, this manifesting piece.
Okay, so I mean, it was something I was very believing in. I believed in greatly, and I still believe in that strapline. The law of attraction per se isn't bad. It just doesn't give the other piece, which is the action part. That's it. You need to have a plan to go and get that. So you can, it all does start with the mind. If you can't visualize, plan, think where you want to be, what you want to do, it's not going to happen. Ever since I read a phenomenal book called Ultimate Sales Machine by Chet Holmes, and it referenced something, part of your brain called the reticular activating system, and I reference him and that in my book. And essentially, it's you get what you focus on. So I'm a biker. I have many bikes. They're all from the same brand, from a company called Ducati. And I fell in love with a bike called a Ducati Monster when I was 24. I was at crossing a road, I heard this thunderous sound, and I was like, what the fuck is that? And it was Ducati Monster. So anyway, when I got my bike test later in life, I was determined to get one. Now, they're not rare bikes, but you don't see many of them, just less so. As soon as in my head I decided I wanted a Ducati Monster, I started seeing the fuckers everywhere. So what you often find when you truly focus on something, that's what you'll start to get. Same as if you focus on negative shit, if you think people are horrible, if you think people are going to fuck you over, if you think you're never going to be happy, you're going to stay overweight, never be in love, whatever that stuff. Guess what? You're right. And the part is that you need that part to be able to focus on what you actually want, the goal, what you're looking for, how you want to achieve it. But then you've got to figure out what steps to take to go and get it.
Yeah, I value that, because you're not telling somebody they can manifest their way to the life of their dreams, but equally having these thoughts clear in your head and understanding what it is you actually desire is incredibly valuable as well. So for you, was that particular brand of motorbike that stuck with you, and it became a driving force alongside this less materialistic belief that you wanted to be there to support your sister and your family, which you've been able to do successfully, which is obviously a massive credit to you. You are well known for productivity. And within How to Be Fucking Awesome, we talk a lot about getting shit done, and it's one of your kind of catchphrases. Now, here he is. He's got a second book for called that as well. For those watching on YouTube, Dan shamelessly plugging it. We'll all be linked with an Amazon link at the end as well. Don't worry.
I've got two. These are gifts. What kind of prick literally carries a copy of his own book with his own stupid face on it? Clearly me, but these are gifts for someone that I'm seeing next week. So literally I just handed them here, but I thought there's a couple of things you wrote to reference. I thought I'd actually had to read a couple of chapters of my own books. I thought, fuck off, I'm on those. So yeah.
But we're gonna dive into something that I read on your website, a blog post, in terms of the ultimate guide to being productive, and it's 9 ways to get shit done. Now, if your background shows anything, it shows that you have had periods where you've relentlessly got shit done to get to where you are. I know you've said 7 years of work. You've mentioned some of the years you were drinking more, or some of the years you were traveling more. There have been years of kind of peaks and troughs and feast and famine, I suppose. But ultimately, many of the people that listen to this podcast will want almost relentless consistency for at least a period on the things that are focusing on. So let's dive into those 9 ways, Dan. And obviously you've given me a kind of a chance to refresh before you, before we jumped on this. But the first one that you said, and it kind of relates a little bit to the law of attraction, is no universe. What did you mean by that when you said that?
So in other words, people like say, ask the universe and it shall come. I've developed myself since that book, I'm going to say since dad passed, I'm going to say more interested and open to, I'm just going to put it under the veiled umbrella of the more spiritual side of life. Okay, there is more to this world than we see, and it's up to each person to have their own journey to find out what they do and don't believe. That's their journey. What I mean is don't just expect shit to happen. So what I meant by that is, and if you are watching me live, you'll be seeing me looking at my phone, because Colin had to send me my own content to refresh me what it was, because I wrote this blog post a few years ago. But what I mean by that is, don't expect help. Just take full ownership for where you are, what's going on in your life, and just go, cool, this is where it is. You know, no one's coming to save me. I'll do it my fucking self.
Were there any times in your career or in your businesses when you hoped for intervention, or have you always been somebody that was conscious of do the work?
Yeah, mate. When I was eating out bins for a couple of weeks, that was a period of time I hoped something nice would happen. So that would be pleasant if I didn't have to go bin diving for Pret A Manger sandwiches. So yeah, I kind of hoped at that point maybe someone would just come out of the blue and do it. But then I realised after a few weeks of that particular shitty period of my life, no one's coming to save you. So I did it myself.
Was this when you were working as a bouncer? Is that right?
Yeah, I can't. It was a weird job. I couldn't work in the industry that I was in due to the fact that me and my then business partner fell out, which is fine. And I didn't really know what to do. I was lost. And I used to work sort of as a barman, doorman, working the clubs of a gentleman's erotic dance boutique. And it was the Pret A Manger next to a very, very big one. So I was like a floor manager in there. And yes, that was a interesting period of my time. It was not, sounds like it'd be fun, but I remember, I think I said in my book as well, there's one point where I came into the club and I just smelled shit. And I was like, well, this is unpleasant. I'm not going to get many customers in here tonight. And essentially there's something called an eviscerator in big buildings, which chops up everything before it goes into the sewer. And that had got clogged. And I remember creating a biohazard suit out of bin bags and finding a stick and having to fucking attack that. That was a low.
And it maybe reinforced the fact that nobody was coming to remove you from that environment, not even environmental health to help you out with the...
Yeah, I mean, when you're ankle deep in stripper shit, then you kind of think, well, where else can I go from here?
I think that's helpful, Dan. Number two is around planning. Talk to me around planning for somebody like yourself and what you've seen as the best way to do that over the years.
Yeah, this I think a lot of people do this wrong, and it is hard because we're conditioned in a certain way, but most people get their work diary, all the work things going first, then they try and carve out time for training, family, dating, doing nothing, hobbies, whatever. I flip that on its head. I factor all that in first. So all the stuff that makes me goes in first. So reading, literally nothing time. I factor in times where there's nothing. I just do whatever I want to. Travel, gym, prep, anything that makes me happy or makes me or a better me goes in first, and they become my non-negotiables. AM routine, PM routine, walks, in relationships, for example, time off specifically to be present, to date, to do things, to practice hobbies, so on and so forth. So all that went in first. Then work goes around it.
Yeah, I think that's incredibly valuable. And we speak a lot on my Instagram about non-negotiables. So some of your non-negotiables there are your training, your family time. And it's almost that whole, you can't pour from an empty cup. So you're 100%. Filling your cup up first to enable you to then work. And I wonder how many people would benefit from flipping on its head as you've done, and rather than being like, all right, okay, I might be able to get this training session in after work, or on Saturday morning I might be able to go for a walk and a coffee with this friend, instead just putting those in, kind of in writing, in the diary, in your iPhone calendar, whatever it is you use to schedule, and just go from there.
Yeah, it's something that a lot of people, okay, it's very hard to think about future you. Okay, it's very, very difficult to think about what life's going to be further down the line, 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, okay? The stuff you do now consistently and turn into habits and put as a focus is going to shape future you. That's it. So it's all very well to rob from the now, but it will bite you in the ass later.
Yeah, of course. Serve yourself now to enable you to be your best self down the line. One of the things you speak about, fun, how do you define that, and how do you strike the right balance between like too much fun stuff in the diary and not enough work?
It's horses for courses. Like, my idea of fun is, like, I've recently got bang into surfing. Fun for you could be doing nothing, could be playing with your kids, it could be going out drinking with the boys, it could whatever. So you define what is fun for you and make sure you do it every week. Like, put some time aside for fun. For me, an idea of fun is sitting on an absolute crotch rocket, and that's a motorbike, not a female. That's fun sometimes as well. You don't need much time for that. 2 minutes, you don't. But literally getting on the bike, getting some good music on my sort of helmet audio, and just thrashing the fuck out of it in the countryside, only at the speed limit, obviously. But that's my idea of fun. That to me is fun. That's what I enjoy doing. I like doing those sort of things.
Do you find with that in the diary that your work blocks that you time block out are more productive when that's a carrot or afterwards?
Work will fill. I can't remember that there's a model for this, but essentially work will fill the time allocated to it. So if you say I've got a week to do something, you'll probably find you do it in the last bit. If you've got a sales deadline, you'll do it in the last week. So I find hard blocks focus the mind very, very strategically. And, you know, if I set a hour to do a task versus 3 hours, I know it's going to take 3 hours. It's because it's going to, the work will expand to fill the time allotted to it. So I got really strict with my time blocking and my structure.
Yeah, in order to manage this planning, the third thing you've said is around a Sunday brain dump and a kind of ranking system within this. What does that look like on a Sunday then? Is it a simple list? How do you
form that? I either do it with my assistant and I talk it at her and she types it up, or I literally just write things out. Literally, I write things out, everything I need to do, personal, professional, life admin, but anything at all. Then I go through it, look at it objectively, rank them depending on importance. So one is basically super important, mission critical, only I can do it, it will cause major problems if I don't address it, you know, time bound, etc. Two is kind of like vaguely important, kind of important, you know, should get it done at some point. Three is like whenever I get it done, I get it done.
What do you outsource that's kind of lower down this list then?
It's not so much outsource, but I recruit for my weaknesses. So I have people, so I've got, you know, several people who have very specific roles in the business that do things that I can do and I have done, but they're much better at it than me. So anything which takes me time, even though I can do it, I still need to understand the processes. I can't just go hand off to you and you know, so I need to understand all parts of the business and how it works. But if someone is particularly gifted with writing words, creating images, putting together, you know, technical things, you know, systems, then okay, cool, that's what you do, that's your job, you do that now.
I think it's interesting when you're a business owner, you've got the opportunity to do that. I was thinking from my perspective, like some of the things that I would maybe look as lower level tasks that not anybody could do, but somebody else can do. So some of the stuff I've done around the podcast to maybe enable me to do 2 episodes a week has been like somebody to outsource to cut the promotional clips that I use for social media, stuff like that. And I'm working out what the cost benefit of that is to enable me to go further. So I'm like, that's kind of triggered a thought in my head when I was reading this about the ranking system. Like some of the things I'm ranking 3 or 4, could I get somebody else to do that if the kind of financial return versus investment is quite right?
Two most useful things I always recommend to people in starting is if they are having a business, or even if they are have the money, and it's not that they're low level tasks, so it's like low quality of humans or anything like that. But for example, the way my mind works, for me to clean and tidy something up, I'm literally going from this room to that room, then I'm going over here and I'm washing up a spoon, then I'm picking up a sock, and I'm like, it's a fucking shit show. So it's more financially beneficial to me to pay someone to run my home than for me to do it, because it will take me 2-3 times as long, which I could be spent on more high value tasks. It's not that there is low value, it's just things that I know I can, for a time for money, but it's more practical. Sarah, my assistant, she handles everything, organizations, booking, travel, anything which is like, I can just sit there and tell her, I can just say, Sarah, this is what I need. And we've been together for 6 years now. She knows me intimately. So she knows everything I want, the things I like, don't like, and she just gets it done. So anything which for me, admin and cleaning were the 2 things that I realized were my weaknesses. So I recruited people to solve them.
Yeah, and it allows you to focus on things where you can add more value to the business and to yourself. And one of those areas is the dentist appointment, number 4. Do you remember what you meant when you were saying dentist?
Yeah, I remember that one. That's still a fun one. So one of my very first coaches, a guy called John, and he basically said, if you have a dentist appointment in your diary, it's just blocked it. There's nothing that's going to happen bar the dentist. You're just going to go there, have your face poked, and go home. It's an hour. It's just done. So he just called it the dentist appointment, and I just stuck with it. And that was his rationale behind it. It's essentially, it's 1 hour a day where I think the highest task is lead generation, sales, you know, getting yourself out there as well. So I would do 1 hour a day, new business development, 7 days a week. So that stopped me having these feast and famine periods because I constantly had a consistent flow of leads. Even when I was full, I kept doing it. And because I was full, that allowed me to scale quickly because I had an abundance of inquiries that I recruited in, and that's how I grew the agency in the first instance.
Yeah, I remember you and Jamie discussing that on a podcast, and in a role where I wasn't just doing pure business development, which I am now, I had a book of business and I had a new business target as well. And for me, the big focus was ensuring each day it was like a non-negotiable, like brushing your teeth. And I don't like to use the dentist appointment term, but I certainly had that in my diary where for 1 hour, I would send 4 or 5 emails, I'd make 4 or 5 calls, and I would connect with 3 new decision makers on LinkedIn. And it was kind of like these measurable key tasks that I had to tick off 1 hour a day. And it's crazy when you look back, and it compounds in the same way as we were talking about habits earlier in terms of looking after yourself. In a year's time, you're like, oh wow, I've actually got a lot more leads. I've had a lot more meetings. I've sent out a lot more proposals than when previously I was kind of ad hoc, just, oh, I'm going to prospect on Thursday. Something comes up. Something always comes up. Whereas if you've got like an hour a day in, then the dentist appointment is a non-negotiable.
It is. So I'm going to be down now. So we're not going to answer all the rest of the questions. We're picking 2. So I'm going to tell you which ones we're going to work on now, because there's 2 I think they're really important. I want to focus on. So the first one is Blast and Cruise. So what do you take from Blast and Cruise, Colin? Turning it back to you.
So Blast and Cruise is a really common term in the fitness industry when it comes to steroid use.
And that's exactly where I got it from, and I'll explain why.
So a lot of people will go all out for a blast, and they'll take incredibly high dosages and gain incredibly high amounts of muscle, and they'll maybe lose a lot of fat. And then in the cruise period, they'll go down to a lower dose to enable them to maintain what they've got.
Yeah. That came from, so that term is exactly where I got it from, not for myself. I was talking to this guy who was just a fucking unit in the gym, and I became friends with him, and I was just like, I remember thinking saying, like, how do you do things? Like, how do you do things? You're just an enormous pile of meat. And he was telling me that I didn't ask him, but he offered it, and he told me how he did his cycle. And I thought, and he said, I do 90 days of this, 90 days of that. I'm like, I'm having that. That's a model that I'm going to use for my business. It's the same thing. Humans can focus quite well in 90-day blocks. It's quite good as well. So you cannot operate at high level all the time. Otherwise, you're not operating at high level. It's not there. So I literally copied it from that. And it's literally, I'd set a goal, break it down into action steps, targets, etc. It's 90 days, balls to the wall. And then whatever I've built, I'd get to that point that it was 90 days maintenance, systems, putting people or operational stuff in place. Or sometimes I've done the 90-day blast, I've got to a level, I run it for another 90 days, I think, fuck it, I don't want to do this anymore, and I kill it. No emotional attachment to it whatsoever. So that was just a way for me to sequentially grow things, because you cannot work on everything all at once, but you can go all in on, you know, 1, maybe 2 areas tops, go all in, then it's maintenance. When you maintain that one, you go, right, what's the next area I want to do? So you can have continual growth, but not in the same area. I found, there's no, you know, everyone's different, but that worked really, really well. So that was something that I wanted to address there. And the other thing, because we've got a bit of time left before I have to go on to my next adventure, want a bit of time to wrap up with you as well, was something that was taught to me by a chap called Ben Settle, which is the point number 9. The first hour is yours. Now, this has changed. The philosophy is still the same, but I'm even more selfish with it now. So this is probably aimed at people who maybe are employed, or maybe they want to better themselves in some way. And they're like, well, I saw it for you, Dan. You've got your fucking farting around in Devon, pissing around on the seas and stuff. So, yeah, well, I started doing it like this. So what I did is the first hour of every day, I worked on my own personal business, and then I worked on client work. So then I did my job. So that first hour of the day was mine. So that was for me to work on my business alone. And that gave me enough, you know, momentum to earn enough to go, right, fuck it, I'm going to leave that, I'm going to go do this full time now. So that's where that came from. Now it's more like a mindset and setting my day piece, as in that first hour of the day, I have literally now, recent transition to this one, I have 0 notifications on my phone. I don't check. I have 4 reminders a day, which says check emails, check social. That's it. So I do it in my timing, and I'm at peace. So I wake up, I do my stretching, I do my morning routine, I have my water, I have my supplements, I listen to music that energizes, makes me feel good, I journal, brief bit of meditation, day planning, done. That hour is mine. And that sets the tone for my whole day. So if I, let's face it, I mean, have you ever had, whether it be, let's think of it from maybe a friend, a colleague, a partner, ex-partner, and you read that message first thing in the morning and it just fucks you off.
Yeah, you're spot on, Dan. And you are really preaching to the converted here, because one of the things that I did around the notifications thing was I have my data off when I wake up, and I have the podcast that I'm going to listen to for my stretching and my walk downloaded already. Don't get me wrong. I'm not always perfect on it. Sometimes when I'm at a walk, I can feel my hand do it. I reach to my pocket, I turn my data on, I check WhatsApp, and my thumb goes to where
it's automatic.
It happens. Yeah. But honestly, the game changer is when you do it 4, 5, 6 days a week, 7 days a week, it compounds. And I love the fact that you have this hour at the start of the day to serve yourself. And it links into what we're saying about not pouring from an empty cup. You're using that hour to be selfishly yours so that you're in the best possible position to move forward. And equally, I'm very glad you brought the example to the table of when you were employed by somebody else, that hour of the day was, I'll just get up a bit earlier, I'll do the hour that moves my own business forward to put me in a position where if I want to go out myself, which you did, you're
able to. Well, you've got a lot of, so I was asking Colin like what the makeup of his audience was and what it was. So let's just say you, fitness is your goal. Yeah. Now you may not naturally be a morning person. You may not have to, you've got to put it, be logical as well. I'm not trying to say be ridiculous, but if your current goal is muscle gain, weight loss, fitness, then, you know, get that done first. And whatever you do first, you know, it may be uncomfortable to start off with, but it will become a habit and something you can do in time. But whatever's most important to you for your own growth, that's the first bit of the day is yours to do that.
Bang on, Dan. I think I've really enjoyed diving into the different ways to get shit done, as well as a bit of a background on who you are and all the things that you've accomplished. And I told you before we hit record that yours was one of the first self-development books that I really got into, alongside Mindset with Muscle by Jamie, and also How to Win Friends and Influence People, which is a bit, like, a bit of a classic as well. So those were three, like, really strong entry-level books that I had that got me into the space. Maybe I'll ask you a question before we wrap up, Dan, that what would you recommend as a book to maybe focus on things? You name-dropped a couple throughout this.
There's one book which probably all of you have heard of or may have heard of, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. You heard of that?
Stephen Covey?
Yeah, you read it?
I've not read it. I've listened to parts of the ebook, but he's quite hard to listen to, if I'm honest.
So the new version, read it. Like I said, that book will, it's not what people think it is. It's very intelligently written. It's a solid read. But I read it in, you know, chunks of chapters. You know, I didn't try and do it all in one sitting. And that gave me, in, you know, the last few years, that has given me more kind of strategic application inspiration for my life and for my business. One of the key things that forced a big change in how I do my one-to-one work and how I do it was, tells a story in there, and it equates it to production in a, I think, manufacturing thing. But essentially, talks about the whole parable of the goose that lays the golden egg. And it was saying how essentially that, you know, this goose laid a golden egg every day, and the farmer's getting, he's like, we want to cut the goose open and get all the eggs out. Got the egg, no more goose, killed it. So realistically, in my business, and I said it's not an arrogant way, it's, you know, coffee down, espresso down, it's my book, it's my name on it. I am the goose. So if I fuck Dan up, I can't do anything. So I had to cut a lot of things out of my life, refocus on making sure that I could serve from that position of strength. And then, you know, keep doing what I'm doing daily as opposed to a burst of effort and fucking burn out again. So that was one good thing. One book, which I don't know how you can get it. I think you can buy it on Amazon. It was a weird thing. It was Seth Godin. I was very lucky to do my first ever interview for my membership site with Seth. It was really cool. He did that. And it was called What to Do When It's Your Turn, and It's Always Your Turn. And I was flying from a mastermind in Florida to a mastermind in Colorado, I think. And a friend of mine who's a copywriter gave me this book, and how Seth sold it, you have to buy three books. You kept one and you give two to someone else. And he chose to give me one of them. And the Dan that got on that plane was not the same Dan that came out the other side. That changed my entire way of thinking. I'm not going to spoil it and say what it is. I'm just going to say, if you are in a position where you feel you want to change your life and need to look at how you are living in a different way, I would advise that book. And that's as much as I'm going to say on it.
Okay, what a way to wrap up, Dan. Thank you very much for joining us. If people want to connect with you off the back of this, I know you're sporadic with the use of socials now to be more productive.
Just this month, yeah, just this month, taking a little pause.
What? Where is the best place for them to head to connect with you?
If you want to connect with me personally, at The Real Dan Meredith on Instagram, if you're an Instagram person, feel free to DM me. I do reply just when I'm on. Feel free to follow me on Facebook. I have a free group called Coffee with Dan, which is just facebook.com/groups/coffee with Dan. I'll just search for it, request to join. It's a really good book, one of the longest established sort of entrepreneurial personal development ones going. It's a really, really good group. And yeah, that's it. Just say hello. Like, I'm a normal person. You can say hi. Feel free to follow me. Feel free to message me. I'm a human being as well.
Superb, Dan. So much value from this episode. Thank you, everyone, welcome, for listening. If you're enjoying this at this point, take a screenshot, pop it in your Instagram story, tag Dan, tag myself, and I'll be back to speak to
you. Hold on. No. Before you, hold on. Take a screenshot of this one, right? Give me 2 seconds. Right. I ain't having me fucking looking down at the floor doing it. Right. Hold on. So you take a screenshot of this one. You ready? Hold on.
He's three, looking good, guys. He's
two,
looking
good. One, that screenshot. That's the one you can have. Nothing else. Don't want anything else. It's that one or nothing.
That's the one that we want to see on Insta stories if you're watching on YouTube, guys. And I'll be back to speak to you all again very, very soon.